Welcome to Aggressively Unfunny. Hello.
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 Hi. Is this how we normally do this?
Yeah. Sure.
Well, all right.
I'm Harris Gale.
I'm Carrie Bukowski.
Yep. Hey,
remember our conversation about crosstalk, sir?
Sorry.
All right. Let's start again.
Yeah. Got to work on that crosstalk. I feel like there's a few things I need to get off the right off the top. I'm a bad interviewer. I'm learning this as we go. I need to.
We're all learning this as we go.
I need to get better at that, and I think it just comes with practice. You just do it more. You ask open-ended questions, not ask a question and then immediately cut off the person that you're asking the question to with your own whatever story about. So, I mean, I know that that's kind of the point, but yeah. Still.
So, how do you feel like you're not a good interviewer?
I think...
You know what I think about myself as an interviewer? Yeah. I think letting the room breathe is really my strong suit and what I can do well.
Yeah, and I'm learning that.
We're both learning.
So, in the same way we started last week, I think we need to learn more about each other.
Oh, that's, boy. Here we go.
Yeah, this can be like a running bit for probably one more episode, and then we'll probably stop doing it. But
the podcast?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. You got any pets, or have you had any pets?
Right now I've got a couple pets. I've got a beautiful little 8-month-old kitten named Mojo.
Oh, he's so cute.
And I've got a albino African clawed frog.
Still?
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So let me tell you a little bit of background. This frog's name is Lady Deathstrike. later learned Lady Deathstrike is a man.
Wait, the Marvel character?
The frog.
Oh.
Lady Deathstrike, the frog.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Who I named Lady Deathstrike and then later learned he's a man.
Yeah.
So years and years ago, this frog is now got to be close to 10 years old. Probably 7 or so years ago, I had the frog living in a community tank, some tetras, you know, swimming around, things like that. I got a puffer fish. And let me say right now, there's a bunch of sort of fish enthusiasts right now who are sort of tugging at their collars.
The thousands of fish enthusiasts. I don't want to know where this guy's going with this bit because I'm.
Okay. Yeah. So pufferfish don't play well with other fish. I learned this the hard way. We got this pufferfish. We named it Goodyear because it was cute, floated around kind of like a blimp. Mm. Goodyear went to town on the tank. Ate every single resident of that tank, you know, tetras, there was some snails, I'm pretty sure there was like some other, you know, creatures. Ate the hands and feet off of Lady Deathstrike, my frog.
I figured that would have been able to regrow them.
Well, here's the thing.
Or have adamantium claws.
He did.
Oh, cool. He
not the adamantium claws.
Yeah,
He regrew his hands and feet. So this poor frog, which was nothing but stumps, you know, 7 years ago, now has some, I'd hesitate to say beautiful new hands and feet, because if you Google a photo of an albino African clawed frog, you'll see that it's not necessarily a beautiful creature.
Was that why you named her or him Lady Deathstrike? Because you knew that if something happened to it, I'm going to say it, I'm going to use that prefix now,
yes.
Or pronoun, I'm still learning, because you knew it would grow its limbs back?
We named it Lady Deathstrike because it had these super long sort of, you can't see me motioning right now, but.
Google Lady Deathstrike and you'll find it.
Yeah, Lady Deathstrike, you'll see the Marvel character who's got some sort of long pointy fingers and the rest is history. Now I've got a frog working on its second set of hands and second set of feet.
Cool.
Yeah, wish I could do that.
Yeah, sure.
How about yourself?
Thank you. I'm trying not to.
Now that you've answered the question I asked you, isn't there anything else we should do as part of this verbal transaction?
That's the contract, right? Isn't it? I might be wrong about that.
Just tell me about your pets.
When I was a kid, up until I was like 17 or 18 or even older, like 20 something, I had a cat named Sushi, and Sushi was the best. He was an orange and white cat. He was awesome. I had bunk beds with my brother. He would wait under the bed. As I would go up to the top bunk, he would swipe at my feet. The best cat ever.
sounds like a real winner.
He also knew how to climb the ladder, which was pretty cool.
Oh,
he learned how to climb the ladder. Yeah, it was real cool.
That sounds pretty cool.
This concludes getting to know us.
Well, I feel like I know you much better now.
But if it's for the audience. They need to get to know us.
Oh, wow. We're doing this for the audience?
Are you serious? Wait, last time you start was did
so so
you,
moving on. we just passed Halloween, All Hallows Eve.
Sure did.
Yeah. Anything interesting or spooky happen?
This is the first year that I have had a house to actually give out candy. Last year I lived in a condo, So not a lot of kids coming by. So my lovely girlfriend Karen was super excited about having all the kids come. She actually missed it. She was at class. So I was.
She was super excited for you to be her candy surrogate. And
first year I've ever done this. I've always been the kid going out to get candy. Now I'm suddenly the person doling it out.
Up until this last year?
Up until last year.
Are you 32 years old, Harris?
This is my 32nd year, yeah.
Okay, so what did you dress up as last year that you were out trick-or-treating?
I was a ghost. A ghost? I wasn't really. I didn't go out trick-or-treating.
Oh, this was all a ruse for the sake of comedy.
Yeah, hopefully for the sake of...
Well, I'm laughing.
Yeah, I can see that.
Tell us more.
So first year had kids come out, like 40-something kids or 50-something kids. It was great. We gave out Play-Doh, which is a fun thing to do. I thought, yeah, delicious Play-Doh, non-toxic, as I found out.
Probably good call.
Yeah. Kids were stoked about it. I thought I'm like, Karen, we may have to like put things in our windows just to prevent the Play-Doh from being hucked through our house windows.
As opposed to the other windows that they might be hucked through.
But kids were stoked. Like one kid, I put it in the kid's bag and he booked it out of the yard. He's like, this guy's giving away Play-Doh.
Let's get him.
Yeah. That's what Karen thought too. She's like, was that a negative guy?
Well-received Play-Doh.
Play-Doh.
So here's what I did. It was a little out of the box.
Yeah.
I gave away regular candy. Kids seemed to be pretty receptive to it.
Elaborate, please.
Yeah. So, you got your Coffee Crisp, your Kit Kat. You've got your Fizz candy. I'm sure you're familiar with Fizz.
I sure am.
Yeah, so Fizz is not as good as I remember it at all. It manages to recreate not only the froth, but also the flavor of soap. It's really quite something.
You guys are going to want to listen to the whole episode for this one. Anyway, so you gave away Fizz.
Yeah, gave away Fizz. I had... This year for my pumpkin, I sort of carved a mouth into it and had this giant googly eye, which I sort of affixed to the top of it, making it look like a space alien pumpkin. Some smart-ass 13-year-old, with half a mustache, he was wearing a football jersey as a costume, stole the eyeball off of my pumpkin. But I saw him do it.
What?
And, being the super cool, relaxed, laid-back dude that I am.
Sure.
I was like, hey, bro! Bro! Hey! That's my eye! Of course, he played innocent, and he's like, oh, where does it go? Knowing very well he had taken it right off the pumpkin, so I, sort of snatched it back. And then yelled at all the children in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Like, as the kids
and that's scary, a lesson for all of you!
Hey, bro!
Bro! Give me back the candy, dude. I'm that old curmudgeon. Was pretty shocked to find my pumpkin intact the next morning not in pieces on my lawn.
Do you find, and I've totally forgot about this, do you find that gate night is still a thing at all in your neighborhood?
I mean, I personally didn't suffer any repercussions from it. But let's just say I stocked up on toilet paper last week.
Last week? Well, yeah. But, I mean, that could have been for a completely different reason. You forgot it was Halloween.
Yeah. I mean, it was on sale. It was a good opportunity.
Exactly, I totally forgot. Karen brought it up, and she said she wanted to – I can't remember what she wanted to do. She wanted to, keep the lights off or something like that. She didn't want to do something about giving people the opportunity to
make sure people can't be identified if they do come onto your lawn.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Make it nice and dark. Create a good opportunity.
Never took part in gate night. That was not a thing for me as a kid. Was it for you? You can – this is a safe space.
Okay, so, I mean, I'm pretty sure the statute of limitations has probably elapsed. The statue has been erected and it's a statue, right?
Yeah, it's a statue of limitations. All right. It's just a person wagging their finger.
Yeah. Every night was gate night for me. I didn't need a special day of the week to go and, destroy property and commit vandalism.
Really?
That was a kind of a bad seed.
Huh.
Man.
I definitely was not. Yeah. My brothers would go around the neighborhood playing Knock Knock Ginger. Mm-hmm. And I, as like the pragmatic 14-year-olds, like, why are you guys doing that? That's dumb. Like, you're just irritating these people. And then you're just going to keep doing it. And their fallback was always, it's funny.
Yeah, it's funny. They're rubes. You get to make them look like rubes.
It's not funny. I have a hard time.
Okay, so let's backtrack for a second. How was your gate night? Did you get some knocking
at the door? I didn't get any knocking.
Okay, so why are you so stuffed up about this?
I think wanton destruction or just harassing people just to do it is it's a low form of humor, and I'm not an expert.
You're not an expert clearly, on the low form of humor?
On any form of humor. But I just think that it's like it's a low form of humor, and you're kind of punching down. You're kind of,
and not the punching down that I do, where I make jokes unfunny. The punching down where,
well, they're both aggressively unfunny. Ooh, that's the title of the show. I shouldn't do that. I realized after I was like I use the word aggressively as a like a to describe things. Sometimes I'm like I can't do that now.
Yeah, and all your little brain pixies go into red alert and start shoveling extra coal trying to come up with a different word, but you still use the same one. Yeah. I've been there before.
But anyway, so yeah, no, I've always been that way. Some of my classmates were showing me this video of a guy dressed like a bear screwing with people in like campers.
Mm-hmm.
And
so yeah, bears sort of going around to campsites and
spooking people out and going to their tents and stuff. I'm like, that's a great way to get shot in the chest.
Well, I was going to say this must have taken place in Canada, because if you're doing this, you know, in an open carry state in America, you're going to end up with a bullet in your chest.
And yeah, and like all the guys who are watching the video were laughing, and I'm like, guys, I cannot support this laughter. This is the wrong laughter.
Laughing for the wrong reasons.
Just the wrong laughter.
Okay,
it was all weird. It was a weird meter. It was like, ha, 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 ha. It didn't make sense.
That is the wrong laughter. Yeah,
you're right. So
I mean that's a pretty mean spirited thing to do. I would never do anything.
No.
Riffish, riffish.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the clock.
Probably
shouldn't do this.
Big man's got a clock. Ooh la la.
So before we went, before we did our Halloween thing, we got some candy. And just by virtue of proximity, we went to No Frills first.
Okay. Go to get some of that real fancy candy down at the No Frills.
We shouldn't have gone there. No, I stand by this. No Frills. I really hope that they're not a sponsor on Red River. I don't think
boy,
they
here
are.
It comes, folks. Brace yourselves. He's about to really unleash a tirade.
Give me some frills. I want some frills. I have made this decision. I'm okay. Even like Safeway, or rather Walmart, has some frills. Walmart actually arguably has the most frills. But
I don't know if you've been through like the old lady clothing section of Walmart before, but there are frills for days.
I just No Frills is so like they're the way they arrange the store, oh, the static painful. Piles.
It really is like you want a couple frills and you're willing to pay for
one
it.
One frill. One Give frill. Me one
single frill.
Frill. Give like, me a single frill. I'm like so we're
I'd like a cart. How's a cart?
I want a static pile of frills. Just one pile, because that's how they arrange their stuff.
Now, and they merchandise that at the front of the store, right? Because that's what brings people in, the frills.
Yeah.
At No Frills.
So we cut to me walking into the store. You're the manager of No Frills.
Sorry, can we back up? You don't want to riff on this frill, No Frill thing anymore?
That's not what we're about to do.
Okay, continue.
That's what I was going to do.
I'm sorry.
This is a yes and.
Yeah. Yes. Improv. And continue.
He got me. Okay. So we cut to No Frills. I'm walking. I'm saying you're the manager of No Frills. Hey, man.
Hello.
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm the manager, so pretty good.
Cool. Do you always introduce yourself that way?
I mean, you asked me how it was going, yeah. And I was trying to give you an explanation as to why it's good.
Okay.
It's
I mean, I can read your name tag.
Yeah.
Yeah, it says manager.
Yeah.
Cool. Anyway.
Yes, and continue.
Sir, I'm getting a little bit distressed here because I'm not seeing enough frills in this store. I want some frills.
Oh, okay, sir. Can you accompany me out to the parking lot?
Oh, sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So come on out.
Walk, walk, walk. Sure.
That's us walking.
Thanks for the sound effect, Ovaly. It's great.
Okay, and if you want to direct your view, your sight, mm-hmm. up to the sign just above the door there. Yeah. Can you read that out for me?
No. Oh, yeah. It says no frills.
Yeah. So.
But then why would you call it, like, don't you think, like, it seems like it's a working business model to have some frills. Is it that you're trying to tell people that it's cheaper? Because I don't think it is. Is it?
Listen, man, if you want frills, you're in the wrong place. You want to come inside, you want to enjoy this, this, you know, basically completely painted yellow grocery store. Help yourself. Come on in. But if you're looking for frills, you're in the wrong place.
You're right. I should have rephrased that. I want something to let me know that it's you're better in some way. I guess no frills kind of says it. But I want, give me some frills, man. Come on.
Sir, you're making a scene.
I'm not making a scene. I just want some frills.
Sir, I'm going to have to ask you to leave.
All right.
I recommend you head up to the street.
Yep.
To some frills.
Some frills.
Yes.
They just opened.
Sister company.
Oh, actually. My God. How did I miss that?
You know, a lot of these companies nowadays, they're making sort of a regular, you know, work in Joe's sort of store, and then they'll have a premium version of this.
Yeah.
We're just going a full level down for both.
Okay.
So no frills.
Yeah.
It's way down here. And for those of you who can't see me at home, I'm the manager at a No Frills and I am putting my hand towards the ground. And then our sister store, Some Frills, it's way down here as well.
Wow.
But like two frills higher.
Okay. And then what if I want like 10 frills, more than Some Frills?
I mean, okay, just so we're clear, Some Frills has two frills.
Two frills.
Qualifies as some.
Okay. Sure.
But what I'd recommend is visiting five times.
Five times.
Yeah, you'll get 10 frills.
Huh. That math seems weird.
Yeah, so anyhow, get out.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the frills. Or should I say thanks for the no frills?
Sir?
Yeah.
I've delivered on everything that was promised.
Okay, thank you, manager.
Thank you, gentleman who I don't know.
Did I not introduce myself to you?
No, I think you just started, tearing me a new one right out of the get-go there.
Hey, man, you work retail. You know how it goes.
Are you talking to me, the manager, or me, the manager? Because I'm just the manager here at No Frills. I work retail.
Yeah, yes. I can see that. You know how it goes. You know how retail goes. Okay, I'm going to break character now. You actually know
how it goes. I personally know how retail goes. Yeah,
it's rough out there.
I sell electronics and... One thing you learn when you sell electronics is nobody knows anything about electronics.
Especially the people who sell it sometimes.
Yes. So anyhow, if you want to take a look at our televisions, I've got quite a good selection.
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back in a couple seconds. Or a couple of minutes. See you guys. Welcome back to Aggressively Unfunny. We're joined now by our guest who's been very patiently silent for the first segment. Oh, yeah.
Oh, hey.
He's holding that in. Todd Martin. Hello. Hey. Todd Martin of the Dirty Catfish Brass Band. Oh, sorry, just one sec.
We're experiencing some technical
difficulties. Little technical difficulties here. Just one sec.
Check. Hey.
Hello. Still nothing. That's weird.
Do you want to try? So, hello, if anyone... Oh, looks like it sounded like you had something that...
Hello. Oh,
okay. All right, that's a little bit better. Okay. Todd Martin of the Dirty Campers.
Hey.
Hey. How's it going,
Hey, guys. Man? Good. Very good.
Good.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to have you in the studio, man.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Yeah, finally. So you brought something in for us to talk about, right? Hey, you know, this is why I'm a bad interviewer. We're going to get right into that in a second.
Yeah, why don't we just talk about what you want to talk about, Harris?
Yeah, let's go
ahead.
Why don't we just go ahead and do that?
So why don't you give us a little bit of background on you? On you as a musician.
Me as a musician?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have a musical family. My father was an orchestral violinist. He played violin in an orchestra in London, Ontario. That's where I was born and raised.
Wow.
And my mom was a piano teacher for many years when I was growing up. So I started my training at a very young age. Like, I've got a picture of me playing violin when I was like 2.
Wow.
My dad had very ambitious goals for me as a child. And yeah, so I started violin and piano training from a young age. Played that up through until about my high school years, and then I got into the band program. Started French horn, played electric bass in the jazz band, and then I ended up going to university at McGill.
Wow.
McGill, yeah, ooh, Montreal. La la. That's where I met my beautiful wife, Patricia Evans.
Oh, nice. She's
who
lovely.
Is the
she's
real sweetheart.
Yeah. Principal horn player in the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra, for those of you that are symphony subscribers. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we moved here in 2002, so we've been living and working here for that time. And when I first moved here, I would say that I was strictly quote-unquote classical musician. I was only playing French horn and symphony orchestras or doing that kind of genre of music. And then I got a job working at Long McQuaid, and I started
Local
music shop. And I started to get connected to the wonderful music community here in Winnipeg. And I started my first band, which is Dr. Hot Bottom, and Dave and Joey Landreth, Aaron Edgar, and Jason Sapinski, where we were all employees at Long McQuaid.
Really? I didn't know that. That's really funny.
Yeah, when the band started. Yeah, yeah. Me and Jay were in the band department, and the other dudes worked in the lesson center.
Huh.
So, yeah. And then just from there, you know, like, once you're in a band with 4 other guys, then they're in 3 other bands, and it just kind of spider webs from there, like the whole scene. Everybody kind of knows everybody, and that's why I met Carrie. And
you start playing around and meet people through
for sure.
The ancillary
and being a horn player, it kind of it's a little, people are always looking for horn players in bands. Everybody that plays in a band that doesn't have horns wants them.
Hello, would you like to come play shows with my band? I will pay you very little money.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That's pretty much how every single horn player conversation
goes. I'll just do that 14 times a week.
Can I ask, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this based on classical upbringing, but Beatles versus Rolling Stones.
Oh, Beatles all the
way. Yeah, I mean, I didn't really question. Give me a break. Give me a
friggin' break.
Oh, boy. I mean, Mick Jagger is rolling around in his grave right now.
In his crypt.
Yeah, they should not have buried him yet.
I know he's castle.
I mean, come on, Beatles for sure. Stones are good, but Beatles are a whole other level.
Okay, so I have a confession to make.
I would say, as far as the Beatles versus the Stones go, I feel like, I don't know, maybe I don't really know the Stones catalog as well, but I feel like the Beatles covered quite a bit of ground stylistically. Like, after they stopped touring and did all that cool studio stuff, like, their sounds changed a lot more than.
Listen, man, if you're gonna tell me that Brown Sugar is not completely different sound than Stop Me Up.
Yeah, I know. I sing in a wedding band, and you know, we do Honky Tonk Woman and Brown Sugar. Like, all the Stones song are like the same.
Yeah. Hopefully, you have to stop playing music over our guests. It's something that.
Oh. Sorry, I just cross sang you there.
No, Harris. No, that's okay. It's a running bit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I'll admit, I was raised as a Stones person.
Okay.
I was not a Beatles person. So all right. What you just did right there, I was getting pretty excited. I like undid my ponytail.
Yeah,
I was going to start headbanging a little bit.
Nice.
I don't know where the cold beers came from. But
someone put a hula on you.
A luau,
right? God, I.
A luau?
This is why the show is called
a luau. And let's bring it to a grinding halt while we make fun of Harris for a second.
No. I think if we're talking Beatles versus Stones in like fisticuffs, one on one.
Oh, Stones would murder the
Stones
Beatles.
All the way.
Yeah. Oh, if it's Beatles versus Stones, like
in the octagon. Yeah. The Stones are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
he's got that.
You can't kill Keith.
No.
People have tried. Heroin's been trying for 45 years. It just can't be done.
Yeah. No, he's like a cockroach.
So, okay, so you brought in, on the topic of music, you brought in something for us to talk about.
Yeah, the, you know, I play in a brass band, which is in based in, like, the New Orleans style of brass band music. And when the band was just starting, I didn't really know anything about New Orleans or the music or the culture. And there was a really excellent show, a HBO show called The Tremé, which is set in New Orleans. And the whole premise of the show is just to give you an idea of what it's like to live and work there for the people that actually go there. Not tourists. We're not talking about going to see a Saints game or going to Mardi Gras or going to Bourbon Street. Like, they showed the real venues with the real musicians and the real hot spots to go and eat. And
It's post-Katrina.
Yeah, it picks up post-Katrina. There are several characters who are just returning to New Orleans, to their homes, which are basically destroyed, and their neighborhoods are gone. A lot of their friends haven't come back yet. So it just kind of picks up there with the community, and it was a really great resource for me personally, just to kind of figure out how to learn this music, how to play this music as a singer, how to sing the songs with the right intention. And yeah, it was great. Like, we'd be in my buddy Aaron's basement learning a meter song, and then I'd go home and watch the show, and Dr. John would be playing the same song in the show in Tipitina's with, you know, whoever else.
Super cool. Can't give you much more of a, like, authentic feel and vibe than
totally. Sort of
seeing the actual people who are doing it.
There's sure.
A lot of pretty big, you know, New Orleans so musical many. Cameos on there. You've got your Trombone Shorty.
Yeah, Trombone Shorty.
Your Kermit Ruffins.
Kermit Ruffins. Dr. John. Ron Carter's in there. Because one of the characters is he's a jazz musician based out in New York City.
Right.
So there's a lot of him going to New York and playing at Dizzy's Club and with all of these famous musicians. So I really love how they juxtapose the fiction with fictional characters with real musicians.
And it's not all music either. A lot of it's just like
the infrastructure, the food, the music, it's the artists. One of the characters is he's like a real estate developer from Houston. So he comes and he's trying to make his money by rebuilding and doing all those things. And it gets into the corruption of the political system.
But he's a character who actually, it seems like he genuinely loves New Orleans too. He's not doing to line his pockets. He really, like, once his arc in the show, in the second season, I think he comes in, it's so great. Every character's arc is so great. I personally, Antoine Baptiste.
Oh yeah. Wendell Pierce.
One of the best... One of my favorite, like, most watchable characters on TV, because everything he does is so fun and so funny. Even when he's in, like, the dumps, you are just so, you know.
Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's got the Kangol hat on. Yeah. He's just always kind of like, psh, oh, man. Yeah. And he's a trombone player. Yeah. And it's funny, just in preparation for our little interview today, I was scrolling through some stuff, and it talks about his character and how he's a trombone player, always looking for gigs, and now he's a part-time music teacher at a junior high school, and that's kind of what I do now. And I had many moments where, you know, I'd be playing in a restaurant and singing, and I would have just watched that show, and I was like, man, this is so cool. I feel like I'm doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And so it really inspired me a lot to just keep pushing forward and trying new stuff. And
I was actually living in Victoria when that show came out, the first and second season. Mm-hmm. And I lived in Victoria, and I would come back here every summer for, like, Folk Fest. And every time I was here, I'd always go to, like, shows, like, just, I think DCB was around then. When did you guys form?
6 years ago.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, for sure. Yeah. You guys would have been maybe just forming. But I would go to see shows. And then watching the show in Victoria made me homesick. It actually was a huge reason for why I decided to move back.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I do see a lot of parallels between our community and New Orleans. Obviously, we don't have the surrounding population.
But the seafood, oh my goodness. Yeah. Fresh.
Oh yeah. I live on a steady diet of catfish that I pull out of the red.
Yeah.
My mercury levels are off the charts right now.
So going back to the first segment we were talking about Halloween, a big tradition for me is watching my favorite scary movie, which is The Shining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Read the book
so good. A
couple times.
Oh, man. The book and the movie. The movie is just, I think it's a perfect scary movie because it's so, Kubrick was just such an.
It is one of the creepiest movies ever that I've ever seen. Yeah, and a lot of that is the music.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
There's some great classical music in that, actually. The Bartok music for percussion and strings, which is very, it's just, yeah, it makes your skin crawl.
Do you have a favorite scary movie?
I'm not a huge scary movie guy. One of the memories Patty keeps talking about when we watch scary movies is her and a friend of ours and myself. We went to this movie in Winnipeg or in Montreal when we were students, and it was called The Event Horizon.
Oh yeah, I remember
that
movie.
Did you ever see that movie?
Yeah, I saw it.
It's like the worst. Like, I hated it. I basically didn't watch the movie. Most of it had to do with the sounds, because the sounds were just terrifying.
It's some real messed up imagery in that movie. Yeah.
I remember. And, you know, so I'm kind of a scaredy cat when it comes to movies.
Yeah.
Same with amusement park rides. Not a huge thrill seeker that way. I find my thrills on stage, just jumping around and screaming. Makes sense.
I rewatched that movie a couple years ago with someone, and I was like,
"Event Horizon."
Yeah,
yeah,
it's dumb.
It's dumb. It's dumb. Just like it's not just really disturbing images and sounds.
Yeah,
like so, the story kind of sucks.
Having not seen Event Horizon, what I'm picturing is one of those sort of end of the world kind of movies.
It's a deep space movie.
Space.
Okay.
Space. Deep space. They're on this thing, and there's this thing that just wants to kill everything.
It's kind of like
and
Doom.
Then it's floating through space, and then.
Kind of like
sounds like there's a lot of things.
There's a lot of like
it has an abundance of things.
Psychological terror.
Yeah, it's kind of like Doom, where you've got like this ship. They're trying to
Lawrence Fishburne,
Sam Neill. They're trying to like basically
pre-Matrix.
Do quick interspace travel. So they go through this little wormhole. Turns out wormhole is a portal to hell, comes back.
Oh, no.
Things get, I know. That's a recipe for disaster.
That's just the classic trope. You go through a door, you don't know which one where it's leading you, and it's straight to hell.
Straight to hell, of course.
Don't be curious. Okay. Don't open those doors.
Don't open those doors.
Yeah. Just stay in your little room.
You heard it here first, folks.
just don't try new
yourself.
Things.
Yeah.
You might go to hell.
Yeah. Carrie, you have any favorite scary movies?
You know what? Growing up, I saw Friday the 13th. Actually, I didn't even mean to say that. I meant to say
those.
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I saw it at too young of an age.
Mm.
My parents let me go over to my friend Ryan Walterson's house. I probably shouldn't be dropping names.
We get it. You have friends.
Yeah. Not anymore. I haven't seen him in years.
Okay.
Anyhow. And his older brother was watching this movie. I was like, great, I'm gonna join in on this movie watch here. And I was probably 6 years old.
Same experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, that sort of soured me on scary movies for most of my life.
Yeah.
For movies I found the scariest, Terminator 2.
What?
There's a scene where Sarah Connors has got her hands up against a chain link fence.
I remember. Oh,
and
bomb
the dream drops.
Sequence, yeah.
You know, scarier than, to me at least, scarier than any, like, spooky ghosts or, you know, wormhole to hell.
Yeah.
The bomb!
Yeah. That is a pretty graphic
scene.
That's
a real, like,
she gets like a real...
She gets blown apart.
That might happen
today. That's
not
today. Like a dragon Gorgon
exactly.
or something. Like.
I have very little fear of dragons. I've never been scared of a dragon in a show.
Yeah.
But the bomb? That might happen.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, now that you've jogged my memory, Fright Night...
Ooh,
I would say that was sort of one of the first movies where I went to a sleepover and we watched a scary movie.
Yeah.
Ooh. That was a good one.
It's funny because like those movies like Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street and Chucky. I had the same experience that you had, but it was with Chucky. I was at a friend's house in his basement and he was watching just the opening credits of Chucky, and that was enough to scar me for a while.
Oh, you didn't even make it past
the credits? I didn't even make it past the credits. But and now when you go back to it, it's so campy and dumb, and they like have
how dare you.
They have it's
no, I'm just kidding.
No, Chucky,
I'm just being controversial.
Freddy in particular, Freddy's the one who's like has like a quip right before he kills someone. It's always and it got more. They leaned more and more into that as the series went. It's Gary is arranging his hair. He's kind of falling apart here a little bit.
I'm falling apart. Just keep talking. Yes, and carry on.
There's that improv training. They're kind of hacky after a while, like, or really cheesy, especially like when you get to Freddy versus Jason, which is just basically a slapstick movie.
Yeah, I never saw Freddy vs. Jason.
Did that take place in space?
No.
Okay.
No, that was Jason X.
Oh, okay.
That movie, man.
How dare I confuse those cinematic masterpieces?
Man, that movie's so good.
Can we just circle back real quick to Treme?
Yes,
which
please.
I've written down and almost read out as Treme.
Treme.
I haven't actually watched the series. I saw the first episode years ago and then sort of jogged and caught up on YouTube yesterday. The one thing I really made a note of is I wrote down Steve Zahn's name and then just drew a frowny face next to it. Some of those music scenes with Steve Zahn performing are really
painful. Well, the thing
painful.
With Steve Zahn, like he's DJ Davis, which is based on a real guy.
Okay.
Who's like a guy in the scene. I don't know how his musical talent is.
God, I
don't know
if that's based on.
But he's always kind of the guy that's starting bands and then getting kicked out of the band because he sucks.
He's a dreamer. He's a guy who like brings people together. And one of the
great visionary.
Things, he's a total visionary.
But he wants to be the star.
Front and center, but he's so bad. But that's one of the great things about the show is that you've got all these kind of different characters who have all these different like stories and arcs, and then something happens that usually brings them together. Steve Zahn is a big part of that, of bringing people together. Antoine Baptiste, aren't they in a band together for a while?
I think so.
Steve Zahn, he's actually great in the show.
Okay, so my frowny face is unwarranted. Or you guys are Steve Zahn apologists, one or the other.
I liked him in that show. I saw him in another movie where he was like a killer, and I thought he was good at that because he was kind of creepy.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed that.
So let's quickly play the intro to Treme because I think we're going to do that at the start, but we didn't. Okay, and then we'll break right after that. So just here's a couple seconds of a couple dozen seconds of Treme.
Love it.
Yeah. Welcome back to Aggressively Unfunny. We're going to play a quick little game now, sort of a game, running.
Ooh, I like games.
Attempting to make it a running bit. It's Yes or Nostalgia.
Oh, yes.
And we don't have a theme song for it yet, so if you do want to submit a theme song to the show, you can put it on SoundCloud, tweet at us. We'll find a way to get it on the air. But
do you guys want to improv one real quick just for...
Sure, why not? Let's go for it.
Boom, boom, bum, boom, 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 boom. Yes or Nostalgia.
Nailed it.
All right. So don't bother submitting anything because you're not going to top what we just did.
So I got something here, and this is so funny. When you, Carrie, you're going to love this, or you might hate it. It's lots of fizz.
Oh, it's fizz.
When you said fizz, I was like, oh boy, you're teeing yourself up for disappointment here.
Harris has just handed me a strip of lots of fizz.
Lots of fizz. I don't know if you guys remember these candies. They're kind of like gumballs.
I'll crinkle it for you folks at home. There you go. We've got orange. We've got a red color. And we've got a purple color.
You got sugar, corn syrup, dextrose. And a whole bunch of other things that I
can't
pronounce.
So this one's the sugar flavor. This one's the corn syrup flavor.
Yeah, exactly.
I cannot open my lots of fizz right now, and it's honestly for the best.
All right,
are we eating
these? Yep.
We're popping a fizz
right
now.
All right, guys. Nothing makes for good listening like a bunch of people sucking on candy.
Try to avoid them. Yeah, not into the mic. It's kind of gross.
All right, so...
That's
we're gonna all smack our.
I'm realizing now that this was a bad.
Hey,
idea.
Good bit for radio, bud.
Is this making your skin crawl when I smack into the microphone?
Crack it! Oh yeah, I like it.
It's got a good flavor. It's tart.
Yeah, it's tart, but not overly tart.
Mm-mm.
Have you cracked it yet?
Though? I cracked it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna crack mine right now.
And it's foaming up right now, and you're not full of regrets.
No, I actually like it.
I'm not getting lots of fizz. I gotta say. I'm actually getting zero fizz.
I will say, for it's a bit of a misnomer, a la No Frills. Lots of fizz, I'm getting...
No fizz.
No fizz.
No fizz or like some fizz?
No fizz.
These are probably 15 years old, I mean.
I think you got a bad batch, man.
I got...
Who's your fizz guy?
Yeah, man.
Toad Hall up the street, actually.
It's getting stepped on, man.
Yeah.
Toad Hall.
I'm going to pop one more. I'm just going to see if that was just like a one-off. Oh, yeah. Oh, there we go.
Are you fizzing?
I'm fizzing.
Maybe it's just the purple.
I think I've unearthed a cavity in my mouth.
Yeah, really that wasn't
hurt when that, I bit in.
That wasn't a lots of fizz that I just bit into. That was my teeth shattering.
Yeah.
Weird that they fizzed after.
Yeah. That's a lot of red fizz.
Okay.
Carrie, yes or no
nostalgia? Nostalgia. I'm nope. Okay. I'm like, big fan. You sure. know, typically, you offer me chocolate, you offer me like a hard candy, I'm going to lean towards the hard candy.
Hmm.
Nostalgia. Can't do it. Tastes like soap.
Tastes like soap, right?
Yeah.
What kind of soap did you use at your house?
It's actually dextrose.
Just made your hands all sticky when you used to lather it up.
What kind of soap are you eating?
Yeah.
Lots of.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What do you think, Todd?
I'm gonna go yes-stalgia just for the packaging.
Mm. Yeah. It's so simple. They come in this little strip.
Mm-hmm. And although I notice now they put like the weight of it. So it says like
17.5.
5 times 3.5 equals 17.5 g.
Yeah.
Oh, so you get a little math lesson on top of some candy.
Yeah.
Well, you know
so
what?
So we got 17.5 g's in here.
I'm going to go yes nostalgia as well. I like it. I think that it's just the same way that it was when I was a kid and I was having these. It holds up.
All right. Well, 2-1.
Yeah, you lose.
You guys won the game and I lost.
We win. Yeah.
It's okay.
All right.
It's all right. You know, I got a little thought here.
Sure.
Are you guys familiar with Dungeons & Dragons?
In name only. I've never actually played it.
Okay.
I always wanted to.
Yeah.
I did not.
Long story short, it's for nerds, so
yeah.
This is something Harrison and I would enjoy and most people wouldn't.
Totally.
But yeah, you know, it's a fantasy role-playing game you sort of
play with. Yeah, I'm familiar, yep.
Yeah. So you're, are you familiar with the concept of sort of rolling stats?
Nope.
Okay, so when you're building a character and sort of designing this this fictional character, you're rolling dice. You're rolling a 20-sided die for the most part, and you're basically rolling like what your sort of stat, what your power is going to be in certain things. So, mm-hmm. you know, you roll for strength, you roll for intelligence, you roll for charisma.
Mm-hmm.
I can actually see our followers leaving our Twitter page as you're describing.
Okay,
this.
So when you get into the Dungeons of Morthrock and you've got an elf mage with you, what's really important is that you protect them. You let them get to the final vote. Okay, so long story short, I'm wondering, like, if you guys were rolling stats for yourself, what did you really roll a good one for? Like, where did you hit a 20 and where did you hit a 1?
Oh, okay.
Which is a critical hit, critical miss when you're actually fighting in D&D. But yeah. let's not over-convolute this sure. really
so you're
convoluted,
talking
stupid
us,
game.
Yeah. You're talking to us personally, like my personal attributes?
Yeah, like, you know.
I think I rolled a 20 for dumpiness.
Yeah, like for hairline, you rolled a 3.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for jawline, you rolled a 6.
Oh, wait.
That's a good strong jaw.
Wait, so if I'm rolling like I just said, 20 for dumpy, does that mean I am really dumpy or I'm not?
Yeah, I mean, if there was a stat in D&D where it's like, how dumpy is this character?
20.
Yeah, you're 20.
20 is the most.
Okay.
Yeah, and then, yeah, hairline dumpy. For sure. That's a, I don't know if there's negative sides on that die.
Well, your hairline exists, so it's not a 1.
Oh, thank
like
you.
Again, a critical miss. Like,
Harris is crying right now for all you listeners out there.
A ringing endorsement.
Yeah, you know. Like, balance and dexterity, I rolled like a 2.
Sure.
I'm not much for staying on my feet and not falling
over. As my friend Andrew Littleford would say, I've got pretty sick hand eye.
Sick hand eye. Yeah. So, yeah, maybe you got a...
It's pretty sick.
Your agi stat, your agility, maybe you got like a 16, 17,
something
like that.
Yeah, it's pretty up there.
I feel like I got like a 10 or a 12 for speed.
Speed?
Probably,
Yeah.
That's my ability to do speed, by the way.
As Harris cuts up lines of trucker speed on the podcast.
Right, let's do this. All right.
What's this heroin stat? That's so strange.
Yeah.
Didn't know that existed.
Yeah. It's a male character. That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
Get it? Sorry.
Sorry.
What are
also,
some other...
Yeah, so also in the D&D universe, there's this sort of alignment chart. It basically goes like lawful good... lawful neutral, lawful evil. And then you also have neutral good, neutral evil,
mm-hmm.
and chaotic good.
Mm.
chaotic neutral, chaotic evil.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I probably live somewhere right in that neutral zone. Like, I'm never really breaking the law, but I'm also not someone who sort of follows the letter of the law to the exact specifications. And I mean, morally, I'm pretty ambiguous. You know, I'll rise and fall with the tides. I'm not a bad man, but I'm also not a good
man. You're a provocateur sometimes, I think. I think that you sometimes...
Have you seen my social media, sir?
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes.
I think that you're one to start a...
Shit disturber.
for lack of a better term, yeah. I think that you're someone who's just there to kind of like... kicking a hornet's nest, another popular euphemism. Yeah, I think you're one to do that.
Okay, can we go chaotic neutral then? Is that?
I would agree with
that. Yeah, okay, all right.
You like to kind of just stir a pot and then walk away and just let other people...
I sure do. I'm the guy who will like let a ferret loose in a room full of people and then lock the door.
Yeah, I would describe that as chaotic. Chaotic evil, if that's a thing.
No, because I don't want anyone to be hurt. I just want to see what happens.
And if, incidentally, they are hurt, they'll be, okay, that's how that shook out. Yeah, Todd, how about you?
I try to avoid conflict. Mm. So, I don't know what that,
neutral.
What is this game we're playing again?
You know what, it's real dumb.
Doofuses and Dodgeball?
Yeah, exactly. Why don't you just sing us a little ditty there, Satchmo? Yeah.
Did you bring... like your harp or anything?
My harpies? Yeah. No.
Okay. Oh well. Next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would describe myself. I'm a real beta male. So I would say like neutral. Like
beta.
He is a beta male. Yeah. Let me tell you.
Aren't we all? Hey. Come on.
All right. Sorry,
keep, it's a family show.
Who's family?
No one's. My mom.
Yeah. Hi, Mom.
And I'm looking at our analytics here. Your mom just stopped listening.
Yeah. I'm like a neutral. I don't like to cause issues from happening. I often try to like help people resolve issues, but I'm never really the first one in line. I just kind of like let stuff play out.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So basically what we've learned in this room is...
We're just a bunch
I'm kind
of
a shit disturber.
Yep.
You're kind of a nothing. And Todd wants to play dodgeball.
Yeah. I was good at dodgeball. I'd get a 19 in dodgeball.
Yeah. Roll, sure, roll the really good catching stat. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elusive. Elusive yet powerful.
You know, that's important. You know, as much as being able to hurl a ball as hard as you can.
Totally.
You got to be elusive.
I was always a little guy. Mm. So growing up, you know, I had to be fast. So I was pretty good at football.
Football?
Well, like touch football.
Okay.
Yeah. Not getting killed, basically.
I played dodgeball a couple years ago. It's actually, like, tough. It's tough when you're playing against adults. When you're a kid and you're playing with other kids, it's actually, it's challenging and it's fun and stuff like that. But you're so small that you can dodge pretty easily. When you get older, it's tough. It's, like, and actually physically getting a good whip on the ball, That's not fun. And getting hit by that ball is also not fun.
So what you're saying
what you're saying is you're not an athlete.
Yeah.
I am not an athletic person. What's the opposite of an athlete?
You're looking at it. All right. Here we go. Got any more street jokes for me to punch down?
No.
Or was that a failed segment that we're never going to do
again? No, we can do that again. I like that segment. Okay. That was fun. Cool. We could just pick things that we want and then actually have a physical die and be like, oh, looks like I mean, it'd be kind of weird if I rolled a 20 on
here. Oh, are we going to start rolling dice?
That'd be fun.
Yeah, we should have brought dice. Cool. Moving on. Todd, any pets?
Any bets?
Pets?
Pets? I'm a big pet guy. I have two dogs and a cat.
Aw.
The cat is Augustus. We call him Gus or Guster Bucket. that's pretty much it, the bucket. He's pretty sweet. We thought he was retired from mousing, but now he's back on the murdering rampage.
Yeah, got a lot.
Came home the other day and watched him just mercilessly torture this little mouse. It was like a scene out of American Tail, but like a horror version.
Oh no!
It was awesome. Yeah. No. He was sitting on the carpet, and the mouse was kind of looking up at him, and you know, all of a sudden he just reached out and oh, I'm sorry. No, it's okay. And then just he was. He was mean. I ended up having to kill that mouse with a dustpan.
Aww. Oh, yeah. No. That's...
But I have two dogs. I also have a St. Bernard mix named Clyde. Aww. He's pretty sweet. Nice. And Farkas, who is like a husky mix.
I should come up with that name.
Farkas. Philip Farkas is a really famous French horn player. Mm.
Can't be that famous. I've never heard of him.
Well, of course not, yeah. But he wrote this book about horn playing, and we came to find out, actually, that Farkas in Hungarian is like a common dog name, kind of like Fido in English.
Oh.
So we were talking to a groomer, and the guy was like, "Are you guys Hungarian? Because Farkas means wolf, basically, in Hungarianese."
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So we got tons of dog. You can see if there's a camera in here, you can see all the animal fur on my black hoodie.
Yeah. You actually you got a little bit of a fuzz layer.
A whole lot
there.
Of fuzz. Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's just one of the small joys that comes along with pet ownership.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Don't have any yet. I currently don't have any pets. I'm trying to convince Karen to get a cat. She's trying to convince me to get a dog, so we're kind
of... Why don't you get one of each?
Can I tell you, though, Harris, if you keep killing those Tamagotchis, she's never going to let you have a cat.
They just... It's such high maintenance, and they're always pooping everywhere. Uh-huh. And I just, like, I just
they shouldn't be actually pooping anywhere.
Yeah, it just leaves a little trail in my house, like motor oil. I don't like it. This is a dumb bit.
Do you have a rat living in your house?
We should bring that on for Yes or Nostalgia. Just an entire episode of trying to keep a Tamagotchi alive.
Oh, no. I can answer that one right now. No nostalgia.
No nostalgia. My sister had one, and I hated it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't get along?
No. It would beep in the middle of the night.
Too much poop everywhere.
It would beep, and that's like that, because that's the only way it can really let you know that
it
it's...
beep.
Yeah. Yeah, like 12 at night.
It's like when the carbon dioxide thing goes off in the middle of the night.
Right? Keeps you up. Yeah. Keeps you up at night.
You should probably...
You eventually just drown it out.
Yeah.
It didn't keep me up. I actually was...
I slept right through that thing. Woke up dead.
For real, folks. Check your carbon monoxide detectors.
Yep, check
very
batteries.
Serious problem.
Do not ignore the beeps.
Mm-hmm. So, before we go, I have a little thing I want to talk about just real quick. Rotten Tomatoes, that's now the metric, usually. The movie studios are starting to promote their movies using Rotten Tomatoes as this has a 97% rating or something like that.
Instead of stars?
Stars, yeah. They don't say stars. They just say Rotten Tomatoes gives it a fresh rating.
Okay.
Fresh or rotten?
Yeah.
Those are your options?
Those are your
options. It's also a percentage, though, right?
It is a percentage, but it's either certified fresh or rotten.
So is it 50%? Is that the delineation?
Of whether it's good or bad?
Yeah, whether it's
now,
fresh
if it's
or
fully
rotten.
Rotten, does that mean it kicks ass or is it
no,
terrible?
No, it's bad. It's terrible.
Okay.
Yeah. So I kind of don't like that because I like to be able to – I use Rotten Tomatoes to judge whether I'm going to see a movie now because the movie is expensive and I'm a poor student. But I don't know. I'd rather – sometimes it bugs me when movies get like a bad Rotten Tomato rating, but they're actually pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's tough to
name one.
Name one bad movie.
One movie that got a rotten rating that was not a piece of trash.
Oh man, he just called you out hard.
Woo! I mean,
good
I
one, Gary.
You know, I got you.
Yeah, you got him,
Rube. You know what? I can see you very clearly through all the holes I've just punched
shit.
In your premise,
he's
sir.
Just talking a ventilated. Whole bunch of smack.
Harris is frantically searching Rotten Tomatoes for anything that will work. Here it comes.
Oh.
All right. What indefensible film are you going to present for us now?
Tyler Perry's Boo 2 and The Day of Halloween.
I'm sorry.
Did you see that?
I take back everything I said.
7% on Rotten Tomatoes. I haven't seen it yet. I haven't quite made up my mind yet of whether I'm going to go see it.
Okay.
Well,
7% is 7%. That's enticing for you?
I don't know. It's enticing for me to download.
That means
so 7% means it's good.
Bad.
No. That means of the people who bothered to watch that movie, it
which,
only got a 7%.
Which, turns out only 15. we're in our last minute here. Todd, you got any plugs?
Yeah, we're playing tomorrow night at the Times Change. Nola Night, come on out and have a party. It's our tour kickoff. So.
Awesome. I got a quick couple plugs. Sam and Graham Take the Basement is a new podcast that you can listen to on SoundCloud. There's also The Places We've Been, hosted by Ali Sigurdsson, classmates of mine. Sam and Graham are also classmates of mine. And listen to their podcast. They're really good. Gary?
Just follow us on social media. Check out our Facebook page. Harris runs the Twitter. There's no YouTube page yet, but we're going to put one up as soon as we create some content and make a YouTube page.
Yeah. I'm Harris Gale.
I am Kerry Blachowski. Our guest, Todd Martin.
Todd Martin.
Thanks guys.
Thanks for coming.
Love you.
Love you.